You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the Memorial Day weekend, and I hope that everyone stays safe and that they enjoy the weekend. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the sunny but rain-drenched Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I hope that you will also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net, where you will discover numerous resources. The gentleman that created and manages that website, I just cannot begin to thank him enough for all the resources that he has put on the website, for all that he does to make sure the archives are up, and to he just does so much, and I'm so grateful for him, and I hope that he knows how much I appreciate the work that he does, and so many other people out there in the internet that I've met have been I've met some wonderful people on the internet. It's an amazing vehicle for like-minded people to join together and to express the truth as we see it, and and I get to interview such fabulous people. Anyway, I hope that you will visit SpingolaSpeaks.net as well as ScreeningSandyHook.net, and during the program, if you have questions or comments, simply email comment or comments at spingola.email. Or visit our very friendly chat room at spingola.chatango.com. If you wish to review past programs, and I do invite you to do this because, well, there's lots of resources in those past program files. There are links to the people's websites, including links that are relevant. And in order to do that, simply visit Spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button on the left side of the page. Click the appropriate year, the appropriate month, and you will be amazed and dazed. Well, maybe not dazed, but amazed at all of the fabulous people that I've had the honor of having on the program in the last, well, it's going on it is going on 9 years. 9 years in October that I have had a program here at RBN, and I'm very grateful that I've been allowed to have this venue. It's wonderful. I love it. I look forward to the programs. I look forward to talking to interesting people. My guest today, also a very interesting gentleman, and he will be on for the first 2 hours of today's program, is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior, also the author of The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline, and that was published way back in 1988, and I read that book and have been a fan since reading that book. And he has a new book, which is also very good. It's called 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, Solving Political, Cultural, and Spiritual Riddles, past and present. His website is jamesperloff.com. You spell his name P-E-R-L-O-F-F. And welcome, James.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the intro. Always a delight to be on with you. And some of my followers who are listening for the first time might not know you, but you're one of the best, most educated authors and radio shows out there. I don't think it's any radio show host who knows World War II or has covered that subject as well as you have.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Whenever I think about you and about the programs that we've done together, is one that that we did. It was one of our specials, and I used an audio recording program. And the option is that you can record one side or both sides. And apparently, I didn't realize that there was that option until after the program, and I thought, you know, I think rather than uploading this program right away, I'm just going to take a listen and make sure it's okay. And my gosh, it wasn't, because the only person that I actually recorded was you, and it was just a one-sided conversation. And so I and you were so busy. And you had so many things going on at the time. I went back and dubbed in my voice. And so I always check to make sure that I have the technology appropriately set. So I guess we all learn from our mistakes. But anyway, I'm so happy to have you on the program. And I really enjoyed your book and am enjoying your book, particularly the first half because, well, I'm very interested in war, and it's unfortunate that we have so much. So, of course, anybody that is interested in war is going to have a lot of things to cover and to read. But it's a fabulous book, and I thought maybe we could start at the beginning, or if that's what you'd like to do.
Sure. I should mention a couple of things. One, in terms of war, I gave a public PowerPoint presentation recently, April 27th, at the Watertown Mass Public Library, and it was the entire history of war and deceptions that have led us into them. It's called War and Deception. It starts with the Spanish-American War right through 9/11 and the modern Middle East wars. And you can see that PowerPoint presentation just by going to the welcome page of my website, jamesperloff.com, and scrolling down a little bit. And I should just mention, before we start at the beginning of this new book, how it came to be, is, you know, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I wrote that, came out in 2013, and that is a primer on the New World Order. And I really tried to be as comprehensive as possible. It's the first chapter is on false flags that have led us into war, but not in great detail, right, for each one. And then the second chapter is on, you know, the Council for Relations of the Powers that Be. The third chapter is on the Fed. And we go on with media control and, you know, get into population control and all of those things, and a full chapter on 9/11. But in the 6 years since then, I've written quite a few blog posts that have elaborated on details of that were in that book in greater length. Lusitania being an example, and had a couple pages in Truth is a Lonely Warrior, but I have a full-length chapter on it in the new book. And also there's elements of the New World Order that were completely missing from Truth is a Lonely Warrior, such as what happened to the Hindenburg, the German airship, which I've written on since that book came out. And so some of these, the book itself constitutes a companion piece to Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You put the two together, and hopefully you get a more complete picture or understanding of the jigsaw puzzle.
Right. Now, how was your PowerPoint presentation received by the people who attended?
Oh, they loved it. They thought it was, nobody said it's the best thing that they've seen. I did put quite a bit of work into it, Deanna, and quite a bit of imagery, and it included video clips. You know, it's got the famous video clip of Wesley Clark calling for to take out seven countries in 5 years. It's got I ended actually with a clip of Patrick Clawson, where he calls for covert measures to be used against Iran. And he actually, he validates my whole presentation because he gives the examples of the Maine, the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, and Tonkin Gulf before he does that, you know. And this is coming from an establishment guy. He's, you know, research director at a Washington think tank. It was a lot of imagery, a lot of quotes, which made people, I think, had not seen before. validating all that was being said. But I covered Spanish-American War in the Maine, Lusitania, also the 1914 invasion of Veracruz, which was done entirely for the benefit of Standard Oil, nothing to do with freedom and democracy or anything like that. Okay, I also covered Pearl Harbor, the Korean War, and the deceptions that led to that, Tonkin Gulf and the Vietnam War. And then we move it up to that big shift that occurred in the mid-80s from the Cold War ending to the War on Terror beginning with Reagan bombing Libya in 1986 based on a Mossad deception. Then we take it up to the 1991 Gulf War and the incubator baby story. And then we bring it up to 9/11, and that gets pretty heavy. And I'm sure we spent more than a half hour on 9/11 and the wars that succeeded it, you know, weapons of mass destruction, the never-ending war in Afghanistan, the bombing of Syria, and, you know, wrap up concluding what's been behind all the wars.
Did you feel like you were talking to the people that already knew something about it? Or were you talking to somebody, some people who were actually surprised, because oftentimes we're preaching to the choir? How did your audience receive your information?
Well, it was a mix, Deanna. I'd say that most of the people there were somewhat familiar. Some were surprised, but I really designed it to be, you know, it's uploaded onto the internet on YouTube now, and I'm hoping to get, there's a very well-known YouTube host who has a huge following that I'm friends with. I'm hoping to get him to upload it onto his channel to give it a wider audience. But I really designed it with the person who does not know these things in mind. As far as the audience itself went, I'd say the majority were at least to some degree familiar, but a lot of the people were surprised. A lot of people had not heard the quotes before. No, very few people know about the Veracruz invasion of 1914. But Smedley Butler is the one who blew the whistle on that.
Right. And paid the price for it.
Well, when you say paid the price for it, do you think there was foul play in Smedley's somewhat premature death?
Oh, sure.
Okay, like Patton.
Right.
Okay, I had not specifically heard anything relating to Smedley Butler's death. Is there a story that you've been told or read, the things you've read about that? I know that taking him out right before World War II began does sound like good timing on the part of the powers that be.
Right. He went to the hospital just for a rest. He was an incredibly healthy individual, and really didn't have any health problems. And he just went for a rest and recuperation, and then he got this dreadful cancer, and unexpected, totally unexpected, died a very, very short time later. I don't remember the exact date, but I do have it somewhere in my notes. But my grandfather was his aide. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You're kidding. He was the aide to Smedley Butler?
Yes. And they served in China together. And in fact, my grandfather helped him co-author a book. Not War's Racket, but certainly, they were very close, and they did a lot of really remarkable things in China to actually help the people rather than destroy what was, you know, the infrastructure. They helped to build a bridge, and it wasn't what one would consider typical for an invading enemy to be doing, but my grandfather and the general were they did a lot of really good things, and so of course given Butler's views and his popularity, he was incredibly popular. Mm-hmm. They had to take him out. I'm quite sure I would be willing to. I'm not a bet. I don't bet, but I would certainly be willing to bet on that.
Well, you know that in 1940, Roosevelt and Churchill were scheming to get us into the war, and you know that Smedley Butler would have been one of the outstanding voices to absolutely keep us out, much like Charles Lindbergh was attempting to do. And right. So there's no who also, of course, enjoyed immense popularity. So it's not surprising that they would do that. you know, Joe McCarthy went into the hospital too, and then, you know, it seems to tell me about Bethesda Naval Hospital. You know, that's where Forrestal went. You don't know what hospital it was, do you? That Smedley Butler.
It was a government hospital. I have it in my notes. I don't recall right off the top of my head, but it was a government hospital, and that that is where those kinds of things happen, is in hospitals that are operated by the government. Of course, you mentioned Forrestal, who supposedly jumped out of the six-story window, and that's been proven, or at least I think proven pretty well, that was a case of getting rid of somebody that was going to open his mouth about something. So that's the way it happens.
Yeah, and may I ask your grandfather's name, the aide to Smedley Butler? I'm just fascinated by that.
Arthur J. Burks, B-U-R-K-S. He was considered the pulp king of America in the 1930s. He was, he would sit down and start writing a book, and he wrote numerous books, including, you know, like the pulp magazines. He would sit down and he would start writing, and if he got up to eat lunch or take a walk or whatever, he'd come back. He wouldn't reread what he'd already written. He would just begin where he left off. And he was an incredible individual, and I actually did not meet him until I was 14. My grandparents had gotten a divorce, and I just decided, because my mother didn't like him at all, that I would probably like him a lot. So I wrote him a letter, and within a month, he was at my house, and because he was going to San Francisco, and I was living in Sacramento at the time, and he came to visit me, and I have a letter from him, and it he said that I was the very first person to call him grandfather, and that it was the very, very first time that he would ever sign himself as grandfather. And I have that letter, and it's quite meaningful to me, and I feel incredibly close to him, even though we didn't share a lot of on earth time together. I just feel really close to him, and I think that probably my desire to write is genetically, mm-hmm. It's in my DNA. And anyway.
Well, I was going to say that it's apparent that you're carrying on the mission, him helping Smedley Butler to write. It was great that you had grandfather as a soldier and a writer. That's a great combination. And, of course, Smedley Butler was a gifted speaker himself. I've seen a couple YouTube clips of him. Very well-spoken gentleman. And so you're certainly taking after your grandfather and carrying on the same mission, I imagine, right? Revealing truths that Americans and people around the globe need to know.
Gosh, thanks. I appreciate you saying that. I guess I am my grandfather's granddaughter. Absolutely. Because I don't seem to have taken after, it seems to have skipped a generation, and mm-hmm. I'm definitely my grandfather's granddaughter. So hi, Grandpa, wherever you're listening from, I know you're in a good place. Okay.
Well, I think there is something about that, about skipping generations. There seems to be this rapport. People have joked about it before, between, you know, grandparents spoil the grandkids, but there seems to be something about that, about the affinity between grandparents and their grandchildren. And maybe it's partly because tempers don't flare as much when you're not living with somebody every day as you do when you're with your parents.
Right.
Immediate parents.
But with both Grandpa and I, it was different. It was even, mm-hmm. It was even more. It was just
definitely
incredible. Okay, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, welcome back. I hate to interrupt that song. I just love it. And one of our listeners wrote that and shared it with me. And I just really love that song. And I believe it, that we should be not killing each other, and but living in harmony. Anyway, our first guest today is James Perloff. And his latest book is 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw: Solving Political, Cultural, and Spiritual Riddles, Past and Present. And it is available at that site that we all hate and love. I imagine it will be coming out as a Kindle at some point, or no?
No, because Kindle doesn't like... Kindle doesn't like to create Kindle books out of material that can be found online. I do want to mention that, again, the book consists of posts you can find either on my website or other people's websites that I've written for. Kindle doesn't want to produce books that are available online. But this is a chance to own it in paperback form. I am definitely concerned, Deanna, the way we're being blacked out and on the internet, that you never know when your website may be taken down or you'll be deplatformed on social media. Many people lost their YouTube channels, and I've had people write to me. So I wanted to put this, some of my most significant articles, into paperback form. But also there are features you wouldn't find online, such as pictures that are not online.
Right.
Some of the early articles that didn't have endnotes now have endnotes. There's a cover by David Dees, who also did the covers for your books.
Right.
So there's some unique elements to this. Yeah.
Right. And they can also censor your book. My second book in my trilogy was censored by Amazon. It's no longer available. And so...
What?
It's unfortunate. Right. If you visit my website and click on the second book in the trilogy, it will take you to we can't find that.
That doesn't even deal with World War II. It dealt with World War I, Wilson, the Armenian Genocide, a lot of things that should not be offensive to anyone.
Well, the second book was titled, Zionist Seizure of World Power. And that word Zionist was offensive to somebody, apparently. So
I've got that book within reach of me here.
Yeah. Well, if you click on that, it says, sorry, we couldn't find that page. Try searching or go to Amazon's homepage. And even if you go to Amazon's homepage, you won't find it because it doesn't exist there anymore.
Well, I guess maybe you're right. It was the word Zionist. You know, Trump has a new special envoy for monitoring and combating anti-Semitism. That's his title, Ilan Carr. And he said this recently. He said, quote, we're going to focus relentlessly in eradicating this false distinction between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism, end quote. So in other words, we just mentioned Zionism. That's supposed to make you an anti-Semite. So I say, what about the group that calls themselves Jews against Zionism? And what about Neturei Karta, which is an organized group of Orthodox Jews who are vehemently opposed to Zionism? How can they be anti-Semites? It's absurd. But that's what he's doing. He's saying that you're a racist if you just speak against Zionism. So they're really broadening these definitions by which they censor people.
Right. That's unfortunate. But, oh well, and you have a good point. If you have a hard copy, it's just easier. And I know that several of the books that I wish I did have a hard copy of, we just assume that if we can purchase them, that even if we purchase a Kindle, we assume, well, if I want a hard copy, I'll go back and get it. You go back to get it, and it's gone. So I think it's easy. A book in hand is worth, what, two in the bush? Oh, I guess that's a bird in hand. A book in hand. See, we'll just change it to suit our needs here. But anyway, so you talk about warfare here, and the one chat, and I'm going over several chapters, but you talk about warfare, and then you talk about the way that it was promoted via television, and why, in Chapter 8, the real reason there was a golden age of television, and I just love the way that you create that you explain that, and the chapter before that, Chapter 7, Best Picture Oscar. Of course, they're very handy. They like to give themselves Oscars. But I just love all these first chapters because they do deal with war, and I just like to write and talk about war because I don't know how anybody, any human being, can embrace warfare. I just don't get it. And I mentioned Memorial Day. This weekend is Memorial Day. And, okay, we do have a break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest for the first 2 hours is James Perloff, and his most recent book is 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, Solving Political, Cultural, and Spiritual Riddles, Past and Present. And right before we went to the break, I mentioned Memorial Day, and it just irks me that in a so-called Christian nation, that there's so many people, thousands upon, well, millions of people, who think it's no big deal to go off and kill people in another country just because they've... I just don't get it. I just do not get it, especially the churches that endorse warfare. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And Memorial Day and other days when the country gets together and they memorialize or remember the people who have died or have been injured, I think, well, you know, maybe if they listened to their heart instead of what they were being told, maybe they would be alive now, or maybe they wouldn't be missing a leg or whatever. And I know that's very unchristian of me, but I think that people need to be more critical thinking and just ask, why are we going into this little country and killing these people. They really do. It's like if somebody down the street offended me, am I going to go over and shoot him up? And of course, as you mentioned, most of the war, well, all the war, is based on mercenary and the loot. You mentioned Standard Oil, and you can apply that same parameter, the same reason, rationale, for all the wars. And it's just, why don't people ask questions?
And you see it happening now with Iran, and they're trying to press towards a war with Iran over its alleged sponsorship of terrorism. And, you know, how many times do we have to be deceived into wars? This is one reason I did this recent PowerPoint that I'm trying to get more views of on the Internet and on YouTube, is that we've been repeatedly deceived into wars, and going from the Spanish-American War of 1898 right through the bombing of Libya and Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq wars, we've not been in a good war. We've not been in a war that we weren't tricked into. Every one of them had a deception. Every one of them had either a deception or a false flag, which is a form of deception. And you were mentioning the churches. Yeah, that's one of the things that really antagonized me, and one reason why I made some changes regarding the types of churches I go to was the propaganda from the pulpit. It seemed mandatory every Veterans Day, every 4th of July, and every Memorial Day to glorify war. And, you know, I'd be hearing things about Sergeant York. And we had no business being in World War I. And I really couldn't stand it anymore. But I just wanted to quote what Smedley Butler said about that. He said in his book, War is a Racket, said, and remember, bearing in mind, he was the most decorated Marine in U.S. history at the time of his death. He said, quote, "In the World War, we used propaganda to make the boys accept conscription. They were made to feel ashamed if they didn't join the army. So vicious was this war propaganda that even God was brought into it. With few exceptions, our clergymen joined in the clamor to kill, 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 kill the Germans. God is on our side," end quote, Major General Smedley Butler. So you see why, Deanna, why they didn't want him around for World War II, because he would have said to the boys, listen, they're tricking you, they're deceiving you. And I really hate it when I hear it from the pulpit, because God is, his nature is truth. That is a part of his character. And when you hear things that are not true come from the pulpit, it really irritates me to no end.
Right. I loved my 503C1 church also. it was too much. I couldn't handle it any longer. I just couldn't do it. And in this community, they put a flag in the front yard. I just can't. I can't do it. When you're pledging allegiance to the flag, what you're doing is pledging allegiance to the government. Right. The flag is just a representation of the government, and I'm not going to pledge allegiance to everything they're doing. What am I, crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I refuse to do that kind of thing.
And unfortunately, people live in the matrix, and that includes a lot of conservative patriots who I do like. You know, I like our patriotic Americans who respect the Bill of Rights and want to uphold freedom. But unfortunately, despite what's been said, our foreign wars have not been fought for freedom and democracy, and that includes World War II. They've always been fought for ulterior motives, be it globalism, world government, the Balfour Declaration of World War I, war profiteering, you name it. But it's never for really for freedom and democracy. Those are slogans given to the public.
Right. And the public seems to love slogans. Easy to remember and spread around, and it's unfortunate. So let's talk. What would you like to talk about specifically from the Hindenburg? There's just so many things, and of course, when I'm talking about fake wars, I also go back to the so-called Civil War, which was, and then you have to include the Mexican-American mm-hmm. War. 1846. I can't think of a war that wasn't for for a different reason than what they said. And they did start with false flags.
Yeah, and you and I have even done one on the Battle of Lexington, which is also the last chapter. But we won't get into that because that takes a lot of detail. But you mentioned the Hindenburg, and we might do that just because most people have probably never heard it, and that's why it's in this book. I was a follower of Hilaire Dubarrier, who long before the internet, he had an intelligence newsletter out of Monaco. He was an old OSS guy, and the OSS kicked him out because he's too anti-communist, and probably not the ethnically kind of person they wanted either. But he ran an intelligence newsletter, and I read every one of them. And I found buried in that newsletter the story of the Hindenburg, and I looked online, and I found nobody on the entire internet had picked up that story. And I said, you know what, I got to preserve this for history because I think this is the true story. Of course, the Hindenburg was a German airship, the largest airship in the world. It had crossed the Atlantic 63 times. And on May the 6th, 1937, just as it was docking in the dark at Lakehurst, New Jersey, it suddenly burst into flame, killing many people in a horrific death on board. And that was the end of the airship era. And it was claimed to the public there was merely static electricity, just an accident. And that, so people said, oh, airships are unsafe. And that was the end of the Zeppelin era. There were no more Zeppelins after that, even though it had been a wonderful way to travel up until then. If you think that it was static electricity, you probably also believe that Flight 800, which went down over the Atlantic in the 1990s, was caused by a short circuit in a fuel tank. That's what they said. Right. The FBI said, FBI had dozens and dozens of reliable witnesses, Coast Guard people said they saw a streak of light hitting up towards that plane, and they just disregarded them all, said they all suffered from delusions and said it was just a spark. Okay, well, it was not static electricity, and I wanted to report Dubarrier's story, so let's do that, because I think most of your listeners will not have heard it. If they heard me do a show lately, they've heard it. But the truth about the Hindenburg was revealed to be the architect was Moberg. Moberg was quite a character, and nobody really thought of him as being a famous person until the 1970s. They started coming out with books like The Catch Who Was a Spy. Now, he was an interesting guy. He was a chronic third-string catcher. He was a Major League Baseball player, but he was also a government agent. He worked for the OSS, which became the CIA. Right. And but he was a baseball player, graduate of Princeton, Jewish Zionist, ardent Zionist, and he could speak seven languages. So he was an unusual baseball player. Not a great one. He only had 6 home runs in 15 years. he was not an all-star. But the truth about the Hindenburg was revealed by the representative of the Spalding Sporting Goods Company in Boston. Moberg was playing for the Boston Red Sox, where I live is Boston, and he was playing for the Red Sox in the late 1930s. And Tim McAuliffe was the sporting goods representative who supplied the Red Sox with all their equipment. He also supplied Harvard and Bowdoin, a lot of the colleges, with their equipment. He's just a sporting goods guy, but he had an apartment in Boston, and Moberg used to like to hang out at his apartment in the off season because Mo wanted to be with close to his friends at Harvard during the off season, whatever that activity amounted to. But according to Tim McAuliffe, and this is recorded by Dubarrier in his newsletter, he did it 3 times in his newsletter. Tim McAuliffe was down in New York on May the 1st, 1937. And the Red Sox were playing at Yankee Stadium, and he went into the Red Sox clubhouse, and Moberg was talking, and all of a sudden everything got quiet. And so McAuliffe was like, what's up? And Moberg said, Tim, in a few days you can hear something really awful. And McAuliffe thought to himself, and he said, don't tell me the Red Sox are going to trade Jimmy Fox. And Moberg said, no, but you'll read about it in the papers. So after the Red Sox came back from their their away trip, they were back home. Moberg said to Tim McAuliffe, Tim, let's go get some lunch at the Lobster Pop, which was an old Boston area restaurant. And McAuliffe noticed that Berg seemed especially smug and self-satisfied. And during lunch, he said, so, Tim, what do you think of that thing the other day? What thing? That thing down in Lakehurst, New Jersey. McAuliffe says, oh, yeah, wasn't that awful? And suddenly thought to himself, and he said, wait a minute, Mo, that's not what you meant when you said something awful was going to happen, was it? Mm. And Berg said, yeah, Tim, we had to do something. We've got to do something to make that maniac, meaning Hitler, attack us. And as McAuliffe sat there in stunned silence, Berg bragged about how they did the whole thing. He said, four of my men were there in the bushes. It was dark. You know, they had a rifle with a telescopic sight. They didn't need the telescopic sight because that thing was so big. They fired an incendiary bullet into the after end. And he went on talking, and McAuliffe couldn't believe what he was hearing, right? Now, McAuliffe reported this story. It's never published except by Hilaire de Berryer. And there's several reasons why I believe this story. Number one, Deanna, Tim McAuliffe was not a political person. He was just the Spalding sporting goods guy. He was there to provide sporting goods. There's no reason for him to go after Mo Berg. Secondly, the truth about Mo Berg being a covert government agent did not become public until decades later in the mid-1970s. That's when the first book about him came out that revealed that. Also, I looked up on the internet, the Red Sox were in Yankee Stadium on May the 1st, 1937, exactly as McAuliffe said. Mm-hmm. And I also looked up incendiary bullets, which is what Berg said they fired. I looked on Wikipedia and the history of incendiary bullets. Their first use was by the British to take down German Zeppelins during World War I. Mm-hmm. So that was the modus operandi if you wanted to take down a Zeppelin. So this story rings completely true to me. I believe that is a true story of the Hindenburg, but it has not been published anyplace else except in, you know, my book and Duberrier's newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it goes back to the usual suspects, doesn't it? And the idea was to provoke the Germans to war. And, you know, that was part of the whole process. We've talked about this with, you know, Roosevelt depth charging German U-boats in 1941, and they wouldn't fight back because they didn't want another Lusitania. They didn't want America coming to the war, and because they knew that that had cost them World War I.
Wow. Amazing. And when you look at the positioning of people, you wonder, gosh, who else is really who they say they are, and not just some person that's placed in a situation where they could have some influence. It is amazing.
Well, you know, you were talking about Smedley Butler being poisoned. I'm just going to say something that's just absolute speculation, and I have a zero proof for it. But I've wondered about Lou Gehrig. Remember Lou Gehrig?
Yes.
You know, he was the MVP in 1936. 1937, his stats were just as good. And all of a sudden, he became crippled, and he died in 1941. Well, you know, he was an ethnic German. And, you know, one of his claims to fame, besides being a complete gentleman, he was voted the second most popular athlete in America in the 1930s, that entire decade. And he was called the Iron Man. You know, he played 2,130 consecutive games. I read in my research on vaccines that you can't get Lou Gehrig's disease unless you're either vaccinated or poisoned in some way. And I just wonder if him being a native German and fitting the image of the Superman and people not wanting to think of Germans as Supermen that you don't want to fight against, and him having creating such a good image of Germany, if him, you know, being in the same league with Mo Berg, if somebody like Mo, who, by the way, was sent on an assassination mission by the OSS into Europe during World War II, so he was quite capable of killing people. We know that. Right. I just wonder if Lou Gehrig was one of those, because it was his illness came on. So he was such a, in the prime of life, you know, the best, perhaps at that time with Babe Ruth now retired, the best player in baseball, and all of a sudden, because what other young athletes do you hear of just suddenly getting a disease like that? It was unusual, but that is speculation on my part. I have no proof whatever. I've looked to see if there's any history of Lou Gehrig being vaccinated. You know, the books just don't go into that kind of detail, but it makes you wonder after you're reading about what Mo Berg did with the Hindenburg.
Right, and vaccines really, although there were vaccines prior to 1932, the ones produced in 1932 and thereafter would have been suspect. But he was a grown man and probably would not have received a vaccine as vaccine, but what you are suggesting makes a great deal of sense.
Yeah, pure speculation. No proof. I just think it's kind of, it just kind of fits the profile a little bit. The, you know, this young man who's ethnically German, so popular, he even had a watch given to him by the Third Reich, although he never wore it. He didn't, you know, he did not, actually, he spoke ill of the Third Reich. He did, he was not, you know, speaking in favor of it, but it just struck me that maybe they would want to take down, show these people these Germans are not indestructible as Lou Gehrig had appeared to be, never ever missing a game for year after year after year, and turn him into a cripple. But I can't prove that. It's, again, I'll say no further on that. That's just, but when I read about Mo Berg and what he did with Hindenburg, it just made me wonder.
Wow. Yes. Well, it would certainly make anybody wonder. So, all righty. We have a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
All righty, we are back with James Perloff. He is the author of his most recent book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, Solving Political, Cultural, and Spiritual Riddles, Past and Present. It is available at Amazon. And we're talking about the Hindenburg and talking about other things associated with warfare. And I am really glad that you included that, this story, in the book. Yeah, pretty bad. And it's just what is so tragic about warfare is that since the so-called Civil War, citizens were declared available. Go ahead and shoot down the citizens. And prior to that, supposedly war was just between men out on a battlefield. But to take out a whole airship, the Hindenburg, with citizens and it's pretty awful. And of course, we've been I don't want to say we, the governments have been doing that right along. Just go in and destroy a bunch of citizens, destroy their infrastructure, destroy their homes, destroy the dams so that they can't have fresh water. It's just pretty awful.
Yeah, and there's almost a spiritual element to it. And what I mean by that is, you know, the Hindenburg, of course, those people died in flames.
Right.
And, you know, in ancient Canaan, the Satanists would sacrifice children to Moloch. And
right.
It's been pointed out that things like the bombing of Dresden, you know, Satanists believe that they draw power from the death of a victim that they sacrifice in a satanic ritual. And if you look at Dresden, if you look at Nagasaki, which I have a chapter on, even if you look at the Twin Towers, where people were vaporized inside, in addition to all the geopolitical reasons for these events, it appears that there's also some kind of satanic sacrifice going on, a ghastly, at a very ghastly level, the Hindenburg just following that pattern.
Right. We talked about a little bit about Dresden maybe 3 weeks ago when we were talking about why that was chosen. And I mentioned, and I put it in one of my books, about the history of why they chose Dresden, because it certainly was not there was nothing military about it. And there were so many people that went there because they felt it was safe,
right,
to go to Dresden because it was not militarily linked. And so the people that were firebombed, they were firebombing schools and churches and and then I mentioned that there was a meeting back on September 11th through the 13th, I believe, in 1882 in Dresden, and it was the first Congress where a lot of the nation's leaders were going to talk about Jewish influence and why they needed to address it. All righty, and that was back in 1882. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back in less than 3 minutes.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to